Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a real blessing to be here. And, happy Father's Day to all the dads here this morning. And God bless you as you carry that burden on your shoulders. I brought with me this picture again. This was a Father's Day gift to me, and it's very dear to my heart. Daryl already talked of the verses, those last verses there in the of the Old Testament in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." And I just think that ending the Old Testament, what's he talking about? He's talking about a father's relationship with his children. And I believe he's saying that Elijah will come. And if you look up that word Elijah there, it's God Jehovah is another meaning of Elijah. So I don't know, some said it was John the Baptist, but either way, it was about Jesus coming to bring us a relationship, to bring us back into a relationship with the Father. And what a beautiful thing. And he says here also, he's talking about the hearts of fathers to their children. God wants us to have relationships. God wants to have a relationship with us, be a father to us, and he wants us as fathers, as parents, to have relationship with our children. For a little review, we just want to look back over the points, the main points of last Sunday on intentional child training. This has been happening from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time when God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And so along with that is raising children. That's been happening since the beginning of time. The second point of dealing with myself first as a parent, my own insecurities, my self-centeredness, weaknesses. Train for the good of the child and for what prepares them for a life of serving God and not about making yourself as a parent look right or feel good. Number three was having a godly view of children. We live in a world today where children are despised, where children are murdered, where children are looked at as a care and a bother because we want to live self-centered lives. And God says they are olive plants, they are arrows, they're an heritage, they're a reward. And we have Jesus, when the children were sent away, he said, no, let them come to me. He valued them. We talked about intentional, the part of intention, of purpose, of goal, of having a goal, having vision that carries us beyond the day-to-day struggle, where that helps us to see beyond. When we're burdened down with the work of the day, that we see, we're looking beyond, and we realize that we are raising people who are going to be men and women for God. You have today in your arms a little baby, and they're small, but tomorrow they're going to be a preacher. Tomorrow they're going to be a leader. You're raising those men for leaders. They're not just little boys. They're going to be leaders. And it's vision that helps us see past today. We're looking out beyond what they're going to be. We're putting into them what they're going to need to fulfill that purpose tomorrow. The little girl on your knee is going to be a mother. She's going to have people looking up to her. She's going to be a grandmother. And we need to be seeing, picturing them. We need to keep that vision. We need to keep looking out beyond the day-to-day tasks. Vision. We talked about training, what it means to train up, educate, to teach, to form by instruction or practice. We talked about the example of a grapevine, of pruning it, and you tie it fast. You help it grow along a trellis so it can produce, so it can be useful. Or of a lump of clay that you form into a pot, into a vessel. You put it into a shape. You put it into something that can be useful. And you put it through the fire, and it comes out a useful vessel ready to do some work, to carry life-giving water to someone. That's what we talked about, training it up, making it, shaping it. So we want to look at the next point, point number 6, relationship and law. And God is our greatest example in this. A child needs love and law. And this principle is drawn from Proverbs 16 and verse 6. Oh, and with that, I want to say your child needs you to be a true friend and not their buddy. They need you to be a true friend and not their buddy. You're not always going to be able to give your child what they want. You're not their buddy. But a true friend will do what? What does a true friend do for you? They will tell you something that is hard. They will tell you something because they love you so much, they will tell you where you're wrong, and they will help you go in the right way. So the principle of mercy and truth, Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." So here we see, how did, Daryl, maybe you can help me. Brian Weaver, he talked about tension, or like things that, it's like it holds it at tension. It's two forces. Here we have that. We have mercy and truth. And it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We need both. You can't be all mercy. We can't be all truth. Just hard truth. This is the way it is. And no mercy. It won't work. We need both of them. And we see that in God as a father to us. In John 3:16, we have God showing his tremendous love to us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In Romans 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So we have God showing his tremendous love, giving everything to love us. To love us. We must assure our children of our love for them and of God's love for them, regardless of performance. Tell them we love them. Give them a hug. Tell them how precious they are. We need to assure them of our love for them and of God's love for them. But the same God who had this tremendous love shown through Jesus, he is also a God of judgment on sin. We see him holding fast to truth, and his judgment is right. And in Galatians 5, verse 19, says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the same God who showed us love through Jesus, a tremendous love, giving everything he had, he's also saying here very clearly that this sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. He judges righteously, and sin cannot enter heaven. And so it's mercy and truth. It's that balance, that tension of mercy and truth. And that was a principle that has been a blessing to me with caring for children. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We need to be clear about sin and what is wrong. We need to have that law. But we also, along with that, we must have love for them and be assuring them of our love. I believe this law, we could say mercy and law, or mercy and truth. Like, I believe the law prepares a child for walking with Christ. I believe that principle is found in Galatians 3, verse 22. It says, "But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." And I believe this principle here, it says all are under sin. And we talked about that before, how we don't need to teach our children to sin. That sin nature, the carnal nature, is right in there from the very beginning. And we need to, we're all under sin. Thank you. In the same way, here it's talking about the law of Moses, or that law that was put in place, and it says how that law brought them to Christ. It was a tutor to bring them to Christ. It kept them under guard, it says, till faith came. And I believe this principle is also what needs to happen in the lives of our children. As parents, we need to be there and give them a law. Give them law that will keep them, that will guide them, that will show them what's right and wrong, and that will prepare them for faith in Christ. As a child grows and gives their heart to God and learns to walk with God and be obedient to God's Spirit, they need less and less of the law. Could say it's inversely proportional. I believe it's not all of a sudden one day it's all filled with the Spirit and the law is ended. No, it's as they learn to walk with God, as they grasp new things, as God is teaching them, they will be led by the Spirit. And when that happens, they no longer need law to guide them in that thing. And if we didn't have the law, we know the chaos that it is. Without law, it's chaos. And we see that around us in examples that many, many children today are growing up in very toxic environments. And we see the lack of law. There's just no law, nothing to guide them. And you see them going every which way. And all kinds of carnal, you know, anger fits, all just so many things. And what we're trying to do by having law in our homes, in the child's life, is to prepare them for obeying Christ. To obey Christ as they grow older. Point number 7, the home environment. What environment do we have to raise our children? Think about a greenhouse. Think about how we start young plants. Maybe we need to stand up. Everybody's getting a little sleepy. We didn't do much standing. Let's stand up for a bit. So, in a greenhouse, why do we put little plants in a greenhouse? Why is it? We put them there. It's free from disease. It's a place that's warm. The temperature is right. The wind isn't going to blow on them. It's calm. It's the right amount of water. See, we're caring for all those needs. We're taking them from this hostile environment, and we're putting them in a safe place to start them, to get them on, to get them to grow and to become strong before we place them out in the weather. So with that, I believe our homes should be, we need to be thinking about and be careful the environment we have in our homes. Is it a place that's free from evil? Is it protection from evil? A place of truth, of love, of care, of teaching, of relationship. A place where physical, spiritual, and emotional needs are met. A place of happiness and safety. Is there singing and prayer there? I believe it's so important that we have an environment where our children can grow and be protected from the evil that is in our world. You may be seated. So, another thing I believe is important is the toys we buy. The books that we allow in our house, the magazines, the advertisements, newspapers, news media, music, phone and computer use. Like all these things, the world will try to use to put a, they will try to put a pipeline into your house to put poison in there, to send this in there. The news media is so into engaged in this kind of dealings. They want to put stuff in people's mind. They want to control people with fear. They want to control people with evil. And they want to, they're always looking for ways to pipe it into people's minds. And so we need to be careful. We need to be thinking about these things. It is important. What about our children's friends? How important is that? I believe it's very important. Our children's friends. Attitudes we have as parents. Or theories that I'm voicing. They're so important. In my short lifetime, I've seen a dad who didn't really believe in non-resistance as a dad. Someone would do something, you know, against him, and it was, you know, an attitude back at them, you know, like there was a rising up. And his son grows up and joins the military. And you say, well, I believe that's where it came from. Those attitudes we're having as parents, those theories, those things we talk about and say, our children are learning. They are learning. And you can't hide from it. So first of all, it comes back to what I'm harboring in my heart. Is there anything there that's ungodly or negative? I've seen parents who carry bitterness towards other people. And their child grows up, and they're angry at people, and they're voicing things. And you're like, it didn't just come from the child. It was a problem in the parents. It's a reflection of the parents. So let's look into our hearts and be careful with their friends, with attitudes we have, with theories that we voice. Proverbs 31 gives us a beautiful picture of a godly woman, and it says in verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband and he praises her." So here it's showing us that importance of a mouth that speaks wisdom, and of us as parents controlling our mouth, that it is the law of kindness there. It is the law of kindness there in the words that we say and how we deal with our children. Ephesians 6, 1-4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So here is a word to us fathers, and it says specifically that we do not provoke our children to wrath. And so that goes along with that love, that care. You know, are we careful that we are not provoking our children to wrath? That we're not being too harsh, that it's causing them to be angry. It says, "But to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And when you look up the word admonition, it means a gentle reproof, counseling against a fault, instruction in duties, caution, direction. So it says to reprove them, gentle reproof. We need to reprove them, but we need to do it in love. Reproof. Counseling against a fault, instruction in duties, caution, and direction. Colossians 3:21 said, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I think that's right along with that, that we don't discourage them. The next point is number 8, is correction. Correction, the act of correcting, the act of bringing back from error or deviation to a just standard as to truth, rectitude, justice, or propriety, like proper, like a proper. I can't get that word right. But the act of correcting, we need to correct our children, and we need to, it's to bring them back to from error or deviation. And I believe this goes back to that vision that we have for them. And when we see them going off the course in a self-centered way, in a way of foolishness, that we want to bring them back. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. This, we talked about this already. It's there from the beginning. And it says, "The rod of correction shall drive it far from him." We need to be corrected. And the fact is, children, all of us, every one of us sitting here in this room needed to be corrected. sometimes we might call it an attitude adjustment, because the attitude goes so far. Sometimes there's that stubborn, rebellious attitude that stands in the way of a child obeying. It's just stubbornness. Just want their own way. Do it their way and not bend the will. The rod is used to bend the will of your child. And be careful not to crush their spirit. I believe it's a bending of the will. That's how I heard it explained already, like bending the will. We need to bend their will, because our self-centered nature just wants to do our own way. That's what's in us. And we need to bend our will. We need to bring it back in line with what is right. I believe there's importance in the, it says that a rod of correction, in the word rod, it's a tool that's to be used with care. And I believe when it says a rod, it's talking about a tool, an actual rod. It's not talking about your hand and slapping them, kicking them, shoving them. I believe we should spank them on their buttocks with a rod. It's a rod. It's a tool. It's not, because what I've seen, I've already seen people, you know, be just slapped over the face or something like that. And one time we were out of some to see some friends, and yeah, this one, some of the people that were there visiting as well, they're just kind of rough, and the one guy was. Yeah, he got angry with his son, and he just slapped him over the face. And you know what fear that would put in you if that's how you were dealt with? Like, you wouldn't know any time your parent comes close to you, you weren't sure if you were going to, you know, if they get upset. I think it's so clear to a child if we actually use a rod. We actually use a tool, something to spank them with. And that's, so we go, they know. That's what we get spanked with. They're not afraid of your hand or whatever it is. So I think that's important. I remember for some of our very young children, they can throw a fit when they're rather small. And it's like, and I'm like, wow, like, they got a lot of fight in there. Like, you realize this little baby, they're not that old. But sometimes I remember holding them tight, just snug. Just hold them snug, talk to them, you know, and try to just tell them you love them, tell them that they need to calm down. And, yeah, for whatever that's worth. We did do little, like, maybe snip their finger a little when they were like, when it was a don't touch thing. That was something that seemed to connect very clearly, like reach out their hand to touch and you said not to touch. We did that, but I think, yeah, for the most part, for spanking, it needs to be, yeah, done with a rod is the way I understand it. And I'm not the final word on that, but that's just, yeah, what we understand. But the whole idea of chastening, of correcting, is to take care of that problem of the foolishness that's bound in that heart, that foolish bend to go our own way. And all of us can look back and we can thank our parents for the correcting they did for us. Because it has helped us in so many ways. In Hebrews 12, we have the parallel here of our Heavenly Father. And Hebrews 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And that's the goal. The goal of correcting is that peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And it's a beautiful thing when you see a child give up their will and they surrender. And there's peace. There can be peace. And that's beautiful. And that's what God wants. Proverbs 23, verse 12 and 14. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And that we already talked about how that self-centered nature will take us to hell. And that's why it's so important that we discipline our children. And it says that it will keep them from death. It will deliver their soul from hell. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. We have in 1 Samuel 2, verse 29, here we have God judging Eli for honoring his sons more than God's commandments. He said, 1 Samuel 2:29, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, yeah, we see God judging Eli for, and God clearly said that he honored his sons more than God's commandments. And I believe that's why, yeah, we need to hold up what God has said and follow it the best we can. I believe spanking teaches the consequences of choosing wrong, prepares our child for life. And in the school life, we do something wrong, we suffer consequences for it. That's how it works. And so this, I believe, helps them understand that principle, prepares them for life. Correction must be done in love and not in anger. Love does what is best for the child. Yeah, it needs to be done in love. We need to make sure our heart isn't rising up in anger or whatever it is, that we are in love. We're caring for them because we see them going in a wrong way and we want to bring them back to the right way. For us, we explain to the children that the importance is not that they have disobeyed me as a parent, but that God wants them to learn obedience now, so later it will be easier to obey him. I mean, I've said that many times to our children, that it's the important thing is obedience. And God wants them to learn obedience because it will be much easier to obey God when they're older. Okay, one more is instruction. Instruction. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5-9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I believe instruction is such a key part of training them. They need instruction. They need that direction, that instruction that'll guide them. It'll be guidance to them. And that goes, with these verses, like just teaching them God's principles from the time you rise up in the morning, looking for opportunities. You know, you can't wait. In life, you're not going to get the many of the teaching sessions. I mean, you can have that by sitting down and reading the Bible, and that's all good. But also look for the opportunities in that day-to-day life when the child asks a question is a perfect time. Answer it. Give them, when they ask a question and say, why do we do this, or whatever it is, use it. Use that time to teach. Tell them what God says about it. Tell them why we do what we do. Like, it's. I just love here how it says, when you rise up, when you're laying down, when you're walking by the way, when you're sitting in your house. It's like, just look for opportunities to teach, to instruct them all through the day, every part. And I think along with that, we should have singing, prayer, Bible reading as part of our daily life. But singing. I remember my mom. That was always an encouragement to me. Like, I remember coming into the house, and there she was singing as she's going about her work. And what a beautiful thing to hear singing. Praying with the children, like when you put them to bed, or like when they're afraid, pray with them. Pray with them. It's a beautiful thing to pray with them and to recite scripture with them. Or and pray over your children. I remember many times putting them to bed at night, and finally they go to sleep, and I go through their room, check on them, and when they're sleeping, they just look like a beautiful angel, and just pray for them. And many times I prayed for them, for their life that was ahead of them, and I prayed for God's direction in their life. We need to teach our children to love instruction and to understand that instruction is a needful part of everyone's life. Just because they're a child isn't the only person who needs instruction. I need instruction. I need direction in my life. And so let's get used to getting instruction. This is normal to need instruction. We need instruction. Let's love it. Let's love to get instruction. It's how we get keys to build with, tools to build with. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Chapter 12, verse 1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Very plainly put. We need to love instruction. We need to love knowledge. And with young children, they're very moldable, easily influenced. Like, they just believe what you tell them. Like, when they're young, they believe in you, and you can tell them anything. Like, so tell them, yeah, mold them, tell them, give them instruction from little on up. I believe it was, my wife's grandpa Lloyd, he said how that a child should know, they should learn basic obedience by the time they're three. Like, they should, obedience should be that basic obedience of coming when you say come, of being quiet if you say to be quiet, and like should be learned by the time they're three. That's what he had said. With instruction, we need to be patient. We need to be patient. It's not all learned in one day. Isaiah 28, verse 9 to 10. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And my wife says, see, it repeats it twice, because that's what I do. Repeat myself over and over and over again. And we need to. And you teach one child something, and the next one needs to be taught the same thing. And you go over it again. And you repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. But eventually, this becomes part of them. And that's how it says here, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that is how we instruct children. I believe it's that day in, day out, just instructing and instructing and instructing again. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, you look back and you're like, oh, well, I don't need to tell them to do that anymore. They got it. You know, they get it. And they will. But we need to be patient, and we need to not be weary in instructing. We need to keep on instructing and be patient in it. It's like a block layer building a wall, a block wall. You put a course of block on, and you put this, move the string up one more, and you put another course, and you eventually your wall is built. But it takes time, and it's one upon another. And so with patience. So God bless you, parents, as you work in this great work. It's a great work. It's one of the most important works in the world of raising children. So God bless you, and I hope this could be an encouragement to you, and that we could all keep pressing on in the work that God has for us. So God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given to us. Thank you for your word, that you give us direction. And thank you for our children. Pray you would bless them, bless each of the children here, that you would give them all that they need to grow up, to love and serve you. And help us, Lord, as parents, to have wisdom and understanding, to know how to teach them and train them and instruct them in your ways, that we could prepare them to be vessels in your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.